chapter 11, and this morning we'll be looking at verse 10. The Scripture says, "For he, Abraham, looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." The title of the message this morning is "The Expectation of Faith." The expectation of faith. You who believe in Christ, you who trust in Christ, what do you expect? What do you look for? What do you anticipate as a result of faith in Christ? The Scripture says of Abraham, he looked, he anticipated, he expected a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, the Holy Spirit has taught us much in these examples about faith. And as we look into these examples, they are a mirror image of our own. If we are a believer in Christ, the faith of the fathers that went before us, the faith of these men, are mirror images of our faith. Now, their experiences were grand in some level. They were much grander than most of our experiences. But I tell you this, their faith was no less the same as ours. And Abraham, the Scripture tells us, Abraham, he was called. He was called of God. And so it is with true faith. Everyone who believes is called of God. If you are a believer in Christ, you should recognize this, keep this always near to your heart. Your calling is not by your works, by your will, but rather the will and work of God. This is the work of God, Jesus said, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. So true faith is called of God. It calls us from death to life, from unbelief to faith. And true faith that is called of God obeys. Abraham was called out into a place that he should go and receive as an inheritance, obeyed. And that's the second aspect of Abraham's faith, is that he was called and he obeyed. So it is with ours. When we are called of God, everyone called of God obeys the gospel. Obeys the gospel. Peter said, "Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth." I am so glad God has given me obedience to obey the truth. To believe on Jesus Christ is the command of God, is the call of God, and we have obeyed. And we see this, that faith, Abraham's faith, was no one-time thing. In verse 9, he said, "By faith he sojourned." And so our faith is no one-time event, but rather a continual event. We are continually believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are continually trusting. This is the rule of our life, not the law. That is not the rule of our life. The rule of our life is faith in Christ, just as Abraham's was. And so then this is our practice, to believe. And having all the rights and privileges of God, having the righteousness of God imputed and imparted to us in the new birth, we, like Abraham, have not yet experienced the fullness of the promises. Abraham sojourned by faith, and as he sojourned, what does the Scripture say? By faith he looked. He looked forward to something. He looked forward to something in anticipation that he did not receive yet upon the earth. And that was the city whose builder and maker is God. He had promises. God promised him. God swore to him. that he would have a city. And what did he do? He, with faith and patience, waited for it. Waited for it. He expected it. He expected it. Therefore, he looked for it. If I take something and I promise you something, if I say, hey, I want to give you something, you say, okay, well, when are you going to give it? I'm going to give it to you. Just wait for it. And you should, if I was an honest person and I had the means and the ability, then you would expect that from me. Now you take somebody who's dishonest, somebody who has no value or trustworthiness, and they say, I'm going to give you something. Well, maybe they will, maybe they won't. You really wouldn't expect it, would you? But listen who promises us something. God promises. God, who cannot lie, has promised you, His children, something. Should we then not expect what God promised? And I tell you this, if we are not expecting it, then it is nothing less than unbelief. Abraham, he went out and he didn't know where he was going. But I tell you this, his faith was not blind faith. He may not have known where he was going in this world, but he knew where he was going after this world. And so it didn't really matter where he went in this world, because his eyes were not set on this world. His eyes were set on the world to come. And so it is with us. We are not set. Doesn't matter where we go in this world. It only matters where we're going after. And so we set, like Abraham, our faith is not blind faith. Now, I tell you, some men have called faith blind. They say, well, I'm just believing God for something. Let me ask you, is your expectation then based on a promise God gave you, or is it just something you've made up in your own mind? Because true faith is not blind. I am not expecting something from God that He has not promised me. True faith never expects something from God that He has not promised. Now we can ask for things. A person gets sick. A believer gets sick and he's at the point of death, and we pray to God, and what do we do? Do we expect God to raise him from the sickness? No. We don't expect. What we do expect is God to hear our prayers, judge rightly, and do rightly. Whether that means He get well or that means He dies, it matters not. God has not promised us whether He would live or die. God has promised to do us good no matter what. And so then we expect this, that whatever happens is good. Because God promised that. God promised that. So our faith is not blind faith, but our faith rests on a sure foundation. It rests on the evidence of God's Word and the revelation of God's Word to us. And also it rests on the revelation of this Word in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Remember the Apostle said this in Romans chapter 8. He said, the Spirit of God testifies with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And if sons, then heirs. Joint heirs with Christ. So then as heirs and joint heirs, we should expect an inheritance. Isn't that what an heir is? Someone who inherits something? And so then if the Word of God is testified to us in our hearts and we believe on Christ, then listen, you are an heir with Christ. And what does that mean? Whatever Christ receives, you receive. That's a joint heir. Whatever He gets, we get. Now listen, I don't know what God will do in providence. I cannot tell you what circumstances await us this day or even this hour. I have no word from God as to what circumstances await us. We do know something about circumstances, don't we? In this world you shall have tribulation. Now then, what are you going to expect in this world? I'm going to expect tribulation. Why? Because that's what my Savior promised me. In this world you shall have tribulation. Listen, I expect the world to hate us. Why? Christ said it would. He promised, this world shall hate you. Why? Because it hated me before it hated you. So we should expect that. But see, faith doesn't look at the circumstances of time. Faith is not founded on feelings or the imaginations of men. Faith is of God and is fixed on one object. One object. One hope. One joy. One expectation. That all who believe on Christ will receive all the promises of God. Faith is not blind because it has an object. That object is Jesus Christ. That object of faith is Jesus Christ. And the reason we should expect all of the promises that God is going to give is founded on the object of our faith, Jesus Christ. I am going to receive everything God promised because of Christ and Christ alone, because of my object. We are sure of heaven, sure of eternal life, sure of this coming city whose builder and maker is God. Thus, Abraham did not believe blindly. He didn't just assume he was going to heaven. He just didn't one day wake up and say, well, I think God's going to bless me. I think God's going to give me a kingdom. I think God's going to make me a nation. No, he had a word from God. He was called of God to believe that word, and he obeyed. He believed that word and went out, didn't care where he went. He knew this: I'm going to have a city. I'm going to go and be with God. I'm going to have a place. In faith, he trusted in Christ and then expected. And that's what this is. He said he looked. With expectation, he looked. Anticipation, he looked. And so then, the first expectation, what are we then to expect? What is this that we are to expect? True faith expects. Abraham looked for a city. Now, no, we know this. He was not looking for an earthly city. He did not expect an earthly city. Matter of fact, God told him, "Yeah, I'm going to give this land to your people." But listen, Abraham, you're going to die before you ever see it. You see, Abraham wasn't looking for a physical city. Abraham wasn't looking for a place in this world. He fully expected God to give it to his people. Yet he looked for something much more than that. Although God did promise the land of Canaan for his people, he looked for a city that cometh not with observation. Isn't that what Jesus said about his kingdom? He said, "My kingdom cometh not with observation." How many so-called Christians are looking for a kingdom in this world? Looking to somehow make our government Christian so that we can have some place to dwell in where everybody loves Jesus, everybody's going to get along. That's not going to happen in this world. We're not looking for that. I'm not looking for that. Abraham wasn't looking for that. And neither is anyone who believes in Christ. Yet every day of his life he lived in faith, expecting God to give him what he promised. A city, whose builder and maker is God. He fully expected to enter in and possess heaven as a rightful heir with Christ, his seed. Even so should we, as we journey through this world, every day of our life, we should expect God to give us what He promised. Expect God. I didn't say expect God to give you what He didn't promise. Expect God to give you what He promised. What He promised. And so then, I want us to see several of these things that God, we should expect. We should expect of God. Believer in Christ, what do you expect to receive from God? If we have faith to believe on Jesus Christ, then we must also know this. If we believe in God, we must believe that He is and is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do you believe God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him? If you believe in God, you do. What then are we to expect from God who believe on Christ? First of all, true faith in Christ expects eternal life. Do you expect eternal life? When you die and this body goes to the ground, do you not expect to open your eyes in glory and be received of Christ? You should. You should. You should, with great anticipation, wait for it then. It's coming. You have it already. But I tell you this, we should expect it. Are we being presumptuous? Are we being presumptuous to look for this by the hand of God? Am I being too presumptuous for you? Not if God promised it. Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Verse 14. Our Lord says concerning this new birth, concerning believing Him, He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in Him, listen, should not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life. Our Lord Jesus, in that account in John chapter 10, He said, My sheep, I know My sheep, and am known of Mine, and I give unto them eternal life. And no man shall pluck them out of My hand. For the Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man shall pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one. What is this saying? Is this not the promise that we are to cleave to? Is this not a promise of God? I give them eternal life. Freely give them eternal life. And if I give them eternal life, they shall never perish, never perish, never perish. So what then should you expect? When you die, what should you expect? You should expect to never perish, but have eternal life. Why? Because He was lifted up. If I be lifted up, the Son of Man is lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man. Think about that illustration, those that were bitten by those serpents. What was the command? Look and live. Now to everyone that looked, what should they have expected? They should expect to live. How many said, oh, you're being too presumptuous. I can't look. I won't look. That's presumption. And then they call that humility. No, that's disobedience. That's not faith. Faith is obedience, and by obedience we have something that we should expect. You should expect eternal life because God promised it. Christ paid for it. And faith, secondly, faith looks to receive eternal life by the merits and blood of Christ alone. Now then, we get into the grounds, the reason you should expect eternal life. The reason that Abraham was so sure of a city whose builder and maker is God. Because of the seed. Because of Christ and His merits. No believer ever expects eternal life and glory based on personal merit. You listen. If you expect eternal life based on your personal merit, you are deceived. God never promises you eternal life based on your merits. But here's the good news. My eternal life is based on the merits of another. On the merits of Christ. And not my own. We who believe on Christ, we confess our sins. We confess we have no merits. We confess that we are poor and bankrupt of any righteousness and deserve only the judgment of God. Yet our expectation of being made an heir of heaven rests solely and completely and absolutely on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's where God placed the responsibility. God placed the responsibility of obtaining our eternal life, our righteousness, our justification, solely on the shoulders of Jesus Christ, His Son. And when Christ came into the world, that's what He came for. He came to do the will of God, which was to obtain redemption, obtain righteousness, obtain eternal life for us. Now, if there's any question as to your eternal life, believer, then you are questioning the merits of Christ. You have moved it off of Christ and put it on yourself. If there's any doubt, if there's any fear about our eternal life, then you have taken it off of Christ and put it on yourself. Because He's perfect. His work was right. His work was good. God accepted His work. Therefore, I should expect eternal life. On the grounds of Christ. On the foundation of Christ. Look what Paul says here in Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and look at verse 12. The apostle says, giving thanks unto the Father. Giving thanks unto the Father, listen, which hath made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom, in His Son, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. It is no presumption to see that God by Christ has made us qualified. See, look at me. I want you to see me. I'm qualified for heaven. There's a standard of heaven. What's a standard? What does it take to be qualified for heaven? You must be as righteous as God. Now there's a standard. Now you watch me just a little while and you'll find out that I have no righteousness in myself. What you'll see is a man unqualified. You know what I see? I still see a man unqualified. I still see this. In my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. I understand that completely. But my qualification was not made by me. My qualification was made by God through Christ. Christ made me qualified. My substitute, my surety, my mediator, my intercessor hath made me meet qualified for this inheritance. He hath made me righteous. And so it is with you who believe. You are made qualified. And what's the evidence of our qualification? He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. He's removed us from darkness to light. You see, I see this. I see this. Christ is all my salvation. Faith in Christ is the evidence we've been moved. We've been translated. From darkness to light, to believe on Christ. It is His redemption. It was through His blood that He had taken away our sins. And if Christ has removed our sins, should then we not expect to be received? We should expect to be received because Christ hath removed our sins. Isn't that what the Scriptures told us? He hath removed our sins, how far? As far as the east is from the west. So far hath He removed our transgression from us. So far that Jeremiah, by the Lord, says this, in that day shall the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for and shall not be found. And their sins shall be searched out and there shall be none. Well, then, if there's no sin, if there's only righteousness, what then should we not expect? What should we expect? We should expect to be received into glory. Expect it. John told us what to expect. He said this, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, we are not blind as to not see the old nature that still abides in us. Though we have been given the righteousness, made meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, we've received these things in the inner man, yet the outer man we know, this old man, is still with us. And we must daily and do daily confess our inability, confess our sins. But when you confess your sins, what do you expect? What do you anticipate? How often do believers mope around in despair, saying, God won't forgive me. I've sinned too much. I've gone too far. I've fallen too great. My sin is too great for God to forgive, and He will abandon me. And then all the while we do this, we call it humility. No. It is nothing but unbelief. Why? You have a promise. You have a promise. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. You got that? Who's faithful? He is faithful, and listen, just. That's good. He's not only faithful to do it, He's right to do it. To forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Therefore, true faith should be expecting forgiveness. And it's not presumption. And it's not pride. We're not demanding of God anything. We expect it because God promised it. We expect it because Christ paid for it. We expect it because we are in Him. Therefore, we come boldly confessing, not denying that we're sinners. We confess. We repent. We loathe our sin. We weep over them. But we should not do so in unbelief concerning forgiveness. When we come to God, He will forgive our sins. He will, because He promised to. Believer, if you look upon the foundation of flesh for any assurance of your rightful place in heaven or forgiveness or glory, you will not find any. Now, if you're expecting it based on what you've done, how many times you've done something and it's good, it's good work, you've done something, and you stick out your chest and then you expect something from God. An attaboy, pat on the back, whatever it is. And you don't receive it, you get all upset. No, you're trusting in you and you're dependent on God to give you something based on you. You're not going to find anything. You won't find any assurance in your works. You won't find any assurance in your, even in your faith. Put faith in your faith and you won't find any assurance in it. Oh, but put it on Christ and you'll find all the assurance you need. In fact, the more we grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, don't we realize more the vileness of this flesh? We do. Paul, toward the end of his life, wrote, "I, O wretched man, that I am." Not that I was, that I am. Job said at the end of his trial, "Behold, I am vile, vile." Even so, we who believe, are continually made more aware of this old vile nature and more aware of our need of forgiveness. It is this nature, our sin, our iniquity, our failures, our unbelief that cause us much pain, yet in the very teeth of them, in the very teeth of our sin and nature, we may have confidence that God will forgive our sins. Believer, do you need forgiveness? Then ask. Ask in faith, expecting God to do what He said He would do. Why? Because that honors God. That honors God to expect what He promised. Believer, we should expect, like Abraham, a city, a heavenly city, wherein dwelleth no sin but only righteousness. A city whose foundations are built of God, established on the immutable purpose and will of God. Believer, by what right then do we have to enter such a city? To expect such a city? Believer, we should look for and expect the city of God because God willed it to be so. Abraham looked for this city because God purposed him to have it. Even so with us. We should look for it, expect it, because God willed it to be so. Scripture says, "We know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did," what? "Predestinate." Determined beforehand to be conformed to the image of His Son. And as a result of that, them He predestinated, He also what? Called. Whom He called, He also justified. Whom He justified, He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who then can be against us? You see, I am going to receive heaven because of Christ. I expect eternal life because God gave it to me. I expect eternal life because Christ purchased it. I expect that all the way through this life to be forgiven of my sins because God ordained it. And this He did before the world began. He purposed it. He determined it. And Paul said to Timothy, he said, God saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. Why am I going to receive this? Why do I expect this? Because He purposed it. My salvation was no accident. It was on purpose. It was by design. And I'm going to receive it. According to His own purpose and grace, which was given us when? Before, in Christ Jesus, before the world began. And I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, would stir up our hearts, not to fear and despair, but to power and love and a sound mind, that we should embrace this gospel. Let go of everything else and cling to Christ, expecting Him to give us what He promised. Embrace Christ. The apostle said that we should set our affection where? Not affections, affection. Singular. Where? On things above. Where Christ, our King, sits. Our Savior sits. We should expect that God is going to give you all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Isn't that what He promised in Ephesians? He said, thanks be unto God our Father who hath given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We should not and must not expect earthly blessings in earthly places. I know God gives them on occasion to us, doesn't He? We have multiple blessings here. Multiple benefits that God pours out on His people daily. Food, shelter, clothing, all of those are gifts of God. But our expectation is not in these things. Our expectation is in heavenly, spiritual blessings. We should expect heaven. Our Lord declares to all those on His right hand. Remember when He divides the sheep from the goat in that last day, He will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. All this kingdom we're expecting is an old kingdom, isn't it? It's an ancient kingdom. One prepared, one ready, and one God has made us qualified for in Christ. Matter of fact, He says in Luke, it is your Father's good pleasure. Good pleasure. To give you the kingdom. Let us then, by faith, always be expecting what God promised. Believing what God had promised. In spite of what we feel or see or think, let God be true and every man a liar. Is there anyone that doubts God is willing or able, not willing or able to give this to us? Then let us, like Abraham, look for it. Wait for it. Close with this illustration. You remember those spies? Those spies, 12 spies went out. And they saw the giants, they saw the walls, they saw those things that would prevent them from inheriting what God promised. But old Caleb, Caleb, he believed God. And it didn't really matter how tall the giants were and how thick the walls were, how strong their horses were. The Scripture says Caleb stilled the people and said, "Let us go up and take it." Do you suppose he was being presumptuous? Those people that did not believe said, "Caleb, you're presumptuous." No, Caleb had a promise. Caleb believed the promise. If it was up to Caleb, they would have went out that day and took it. That's faith. Faith expects God to be God. He expects God to do what God promised to do. What did God promise you? Eternal life, forgiveness of sins, heaven, and eternal glory. Let us then expect it. Anticipate. Set our hearts on it. Why? It's ours. It's ours. You know what happened to those people after? God says, "Since you didn't believe, I'm shutting the door. You don't have that promise anymore." And then they said, "Oh, well, let's go now. Let's go out." And those people went out and they were killed. See, that's what a lot of people, when they don't have promises from God, they go on out into eternity without promises. And they end up under the justice and judgment of God. See, I'm going to glory based on the promises of God, based on the merits of Christ. And I expect it. And faith should. Abraham looked, expected a city whose foundations, whose builder and maker of God. I'll ask you, did he get what he expected? You bet he did. And he's there today enjoying it. So will we. So will we who look to Christ. I pray God bless this to you.